On the 21st of December, 2023, three engineers in San Francisco pushed the first commit of a project they called SAIL to a public repository on GitHub. The README in that first commit was short. The license file went in the same day, Apache 2.0, the same license Spark itself uses. The team had a name, Lake SAIL, and a small office in San Francisco, and three founders who had spent the previous decade as data engineers and machine learning infrastructure people at places like LinkedIn and Hudson River Trading and a few other shops where Spark bills run into the eight figures. Their names were Shahab Amin, Haran Lin, and Everett Roeth. Their bet, written in their earliest blog post, was specific. They believed that Spark's architecture, designed for the data centers of 2009, made less and less sense for the hardware of 2026. They believed the JVM tax we spent last episode itemizing had become a price the industry could stop paying. They believed it was possible to write a piece of software that pretended, on the outside, to be Spark while doing the actual work on the inside in Rust. No fake cheap. No gotta be collector. Milliseconds to start. A tenth of the bill at the end of the month. The same lines of Pi Spark in a user's notebook. 2 years later, in July of 2024, they published the first benchmark numbers. On a standard test called TPCH, at the 100 gigabyte scale, on a single 16-core AWS instance, Spark took 387 seconds to run the full set of queries. SAIL took 103. The Spark cluster wrote 110 gigabytes of intermediate data to disk under memory pressure. SAIL wrote zero. The total cost of the Spark run was 16 times higher. The same workload, the same queries, a different engine doing the same work in a different language at a fraction of the resources. This is Rust, gently. A patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 31. SAIL told plainly. This is the heart of the season. Today I want to give you a clean, no marketing description of what SAIL is, how it works, what it costs to run, and why a small team chose to build it. By the end of this episode, you will understand what people mean when they say drop-in Spark replacement, what the protocol called Spark Connect has to do with any of this, what Apache Arrow and Apache Data Fusion are, and why this particular project, more than any single thing in the data world today, is a clear example of what the post-JVM future looks like when somebody actually ships it. Let me set up the conditions because they matter. Last episode, I gave you a tour of the bill that Running Spark sends to its users every month. Cold start delays measured in seconds. Garbage collection eating 30 to 50% of wall clock. Memory overhead 3 to 5 times what the same logic would need in Rust. The Python boundary turning user-defined functions into row-by-row serialization grinders. None of those costs are visible in the code the user writes. They are baked into the foundation. The foundation, as we said, is a fake chip called the Java Virtual Machine, made of software that translates bytecode into the instructions of the real chip underneath. Spark was written in a Java family language called Scala on the JVM in 2009 when the choice was obvious and the costs were tolerable. Two episodes ago, I also mentioned a piece of plumbing called Spark Connect. In July of 2022, the Databricks team proposed splitting Spark into a thin client and a remote server, talking to each other over a network protocol called gRPC, with the data frame operations encoded as protocol buffers. Spark Connect shipped in version 3.4, became production ready in 3.5, and is the default in 4.0. The reason this matters is that once the client and the server are separated by a wire protocol, the server can be anything. The client does not know or care what is on the other end. As long as the server speaks the same protocol, the client will be happy. This is the door through which the Lake SAIL team walked. The architecture, told plainly, goes like this. You install SAIL. It is a single binary, a single file you can download and run, written entirely in Rust. You start it. It listens on a port. You open your favorite Python notebook. You write the same PySpark code you've been writing for years. You point your client at the sale port instead of at a Spark cluster. The client sends, over the wire, the same protocol buffers it has always sent. Sale receives them, decodes them, and now does something different. Instead of running them inside a JVM, Sale translates the operations into a different shape, called a logical plan, and hands them off to a Rust query engine. The query engine is named Apache Data Fusion, which I will pronounce Apache Data Fusion. It was started in 2017 by an engineer named Andy Grove, working on it in his spare time, and donated to the Apache Aero project in February of 2019. Data Fusion is now its own Apache top-level project, used by Sail, by a time series database called GrepTimeDB, by the InfluxDB team, and by dozens of others. Data Fusion takes the logical plan, optimizes it, turns it into a physical plan, and executes it against your data. Where Spark uses a JVM for execution, Data Fusion uses Rust threads. Where Spark passes data between operations by serializing it into Java objects, Data Fusion passes data in a memory format called Apache Aero, which I will pronounce Apache Aero as well. Aero is the second pillar. Aero is not a database. It is a standard for laying out columnar data in memory. The whole modern data ecosystem, Polars, DuckDB, Modern Spark, the Python library called Pandas, all of them speak Aero. Once data is in Aero format, any of these tools can hand it to any other tool with zero copying. The serialization tax that we spent last episode complaining about, the one where every row crossing the Python boundary cost half a millisecond to 5 milliseconds, simply goes away inside an Aero-based system because the data never has to be reshaped. For the user-defined functions, the small Python pieces of code that users want to run on their data, Sail does something else clever. It embeds a Python interpreter directly inside the Rust process, using a library called PyO3. When your function runs, it runs in the same address space as the data. The Rust side passes the Python side a pointer. The Python side reads directly from Aero memory. No serialización. No pipe. No process boundary. The official Sail documentation calls this zero copy data sharing between Sail and Python, and the speedups in the published benchmarks are dramatic. Let me give you the numbers. They come from the Lake Sail Supercharge Spark blog post, July of 2024, by Shahab Amin and Heron Lin. The benchmark is a derived TPC-H at scale factor 100, which is roughly 100 gigabytes of raw data, run on an AWS instance with 16 cores and 128 gigabytes of memory, reading Parquet files off an EBS disk. Total query time. Spark, 387.36 seconds. Sail, 102.75 seconds. Roughly 4 times faster. Per query speedup range. Anywhere from 43% on the smallest queries to 727% on the largest. Peak memory usage. Spark, 54 gigabytes. Sail, 22 gigabytes. And Sail's peak lasted exactly 1 second. Disk spill. Spark wrote 110 gigabytes of intermediate data to disk, with up to 46 gigabytes of spilled data on disk simultaneously. Sail wrote nothing to disk. Total cost. 1/16th of the Spark run, a 94% reduction, while running roughly 4 times faster. I want to say something about what these numbers mean. They mean that the JVM tax we walked through last episode is not theoretical. It is 16 times the cost on a particular workload, on a particular cluster, with a particular data set. They also mean that a small team of 3 founders, working in San Francisco for 2 years, was able to build, in Rust, a piece of software that does the same job at a fraction of the price. That fact, on its own, is worth sitting with. The Lake Sail homepage today summarizes the project in a single sentence. Spark, without the JVM tax. Their marketing claims, again, the ones backed by the benchmarks. 8 times faster than Apache Spark on specific workloads, 94% lower infrastructure cost, 0 lines of code to rewrite, 0 JVM overhead. The customer logos shown on the homepage include Microsoft, JP Morgan Chase, HPE, Societe Generale, Adyen, MSCI, and several others. Whether each of those is a paid production customer at scale or a proof of concept, I cannot verify on tape, but the logos are claimed. If you go look at the repository today on GitHub under the organization called LakeEck, you will find a project that has been actively developed for about 2.5 years. The numbers as of today are roughly 2,700 stars, 159 forks, a few hundred open issues, an Apache 2.0 license, a latest release version of 0.6.3 from May of 2026, and a language mix that is roughly 83% Rust, 9% Python, and the remainder in a testing language called Gherkin used to write the integration tests. The development is daily. The repository has commits today and commits yesterday. It is alive in the way that healthy open source projects are alive, with issues being filed and merged on a steady cadence. The thesis, written in one sentence, is this. Spark's architectural choices made sense for a 2010 data center, not a 2026 one. In 2010, a server had 32 gigabytes of memory and 8 cores, and distributing everything was the only way to handle a terabyte of data. In 2026, a single AWS instance can have a terabyte of memory and 192 cores. Most analytical workloads under a terabyte are now single-node problems wearing a distributed system disguise. SAIL collapses that disguise. When the data fits on one box, SAIL runs it on one box in milliseconds. When the data does not, the same binary scales out to a Kubernetes cluster of Rust workers with the same protocol, the same API, and the same tenth of the bill economics. For you, the listener, the implication is this. If you ever work with data at a company that runs Spark, and the Spark bill is consuming more of your budget than the analytical work seems to justify, you're now living inside the gap between what Spark cost in 2010 and what it costs in 2026. SAIL and a small cohort of other projects we will meet next episode are the response. The data is still in object storage in open formats like Parquet and Iceberg and Delta Lake. The storage layer has not moved. Only the engine has. The engine is becoming pluggable, and the new engines run on real chips, not fake ones. 3 things to carry away from today. The first is that SAIL is a Rust binary drop-in compatible with PySpark over the Spark Connect protocol that does the same analytical work Spark does at a fraction of the resource cost. The second is that it is built on 2 other projects, Apache Data Fusion for the query engine and Apache Arrow for the columnar memory format, both of which are themselves part of the broader PostJVM data ecosystem. The third is that the architectural bet behind SAIL is that the era of distributing everything is ending, because a single modern machine can do what required a cluster 15 years ago, and the bill at the end of the month proves it. Next time on Rust, gently we widen the lens. SAIL is one project. There's a quiet movement, dozens of independent projects, all built in Rust or C++. They're doing to the rest of the JVM data ecosystem what SAIL is doing to Spark. We will name them, date them, and describe the pattern. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.